from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Still known as Bradfoe, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. on WEEI.
All right, Joe Braverman, what do you got for me?
McFarlane.
Gordo.
McFarlane.
Thank you, fine folks at McFarlane Energy, for sponsoring Baseball Isn't Boring. Yeah, we're back for another 3 hours, all the way up at the pregame. Who's got pregame?
The one and only Joe Weil.
Joe Weil. All right. Always does a great job, and it's a huge game. It's fork in the road Saturday. Actually, it's not, but that's okay. We got a ton to talk about. These guys weren't even here last week, not even here. Gordo, you were at your bachelor party, bizarrely, at Globe Life Field. The only person on the planet who takes the bachelor party at Globe Life Field.
To 100-degree heat. 103-degree.
And what made it even more bizarre is the fact that you celebrated by playing basketball in 120-degree heat.
Yeah, that was exhausting.
Sammy, I don't know where you were, but wherever you were, I'm sure it was worth it. But welcome back. All right, talk up to the mic. I can barely hear you.
Thank you. This chair is like, I'm like weirdly shaped. I'm like hunched
the
over
mic
the
is,
mic.
It's right. Amazing.
It adjusts.
The mic goes
it doesn't.
Up.
It goes back down.
Okay. All right.
I got to hunch over.
Well, anyway, it's good to see you both. So let's get right to it. So the Red Sox are a game and a half back of Kansas. Tell me when I'm wrong. Tell me if I say something inaccurate. They're a game and a half back in Kansas City right now. They are still mathematically not eliminated from the playoffs. They are playing Houston today, a team that's behind them, but still kind of significantly behind them. But still, all wins are important. The Red Sox have righted the ship a little bit since last Saturday because they've won a couple series. Yes, that's also a fact. The Red Sox are taking on water when it comes to their pitching, and we can get to last night's game, why Tanner Houck was good. It was a microcosm. What happened last night was a microcosm of their problems, and that was because they're trying to protect Tanner Houck. They're trying to protect these pitchers, so they take them out a little bit early. They say, our strength is our bullpen, and the next thing you know, their strength isn't their bullpen. All of these things are true, correct?
Correct.
All right, thank you. Now, we just had the spirited back and forth. You guys had the front row seat for the exchange I had with Chris Curtis. Which is fine. It's, again, everyone's prerogative to be wrong. So, you heard the comments from Alex Cora. I'll just repeat myself again. Yes, Alex Cora, understand. I think the biggest thing when Alex Cora, when he says those comments about Tristan Casas yesterday, is that they do not want to be perceived as sending someone out to play the game of baseball at any level when they're injured. That is the biggest thing. And that was what they were most upset about when they had the knife in the chest thing. That is the thing that they're most worried about. Now, they also have to understand that you better get a good version of Tristan Casas. This isn't a starting pitcher. This isn't desperation. You need the best version of Tristan Casas. You have 20 days. That's a week from Monday. So is it going to matter that much if you get a guy in Tristan Casas who's not as good as the guy you're putting out there just to say, hey, look, Tristan Casas is back? Alex Cora is also smart enough to understand that. Where am I wrong?
I don't know if you're wrong anywhere, but I think the comparison you got to make is to Trevor Story last year. This exact same thing happened. Trevor Story, it looked like he was ready to come back. He was crushing AAA pitching. Everyone wanted him back. Cora kind of said the same thing. It's like it's up to Trevor Story. And then it kind of put, like, I don't want to say it put the fans against Trevor Story, but people were saying, why is this guy not back? He's crushing AAA pitching. Then he comes back a little bit earlier than he would have wanted, and he wasn't as good as we would have hoped he was going to be. So I think that's the situation you're in now, except the only difference is you've got legitimate production from Dom Smith, whereas last year at shortstop, you had nothing.
All right. Absolutely nothing. Sammy, go ahead.
Yeah, I like what Gordo said about Dom Smith. If I'm not getting better than Dom Smith is giving you right now out of Tristan Casas, I don't know if I want him up here right now. I hear the argument. If you get him going now, then he'll be better off down the stretch. But you need to win all these games. You got Houston, and then you have the Rangers next. I don't want to rush Tristan Casas. There's nobody who puts more work into hitting than this guy. If he says he's not 100% ready, I'm inclined to believe the guy.
Yeah, like, are you seriously going to tell the guy to come back before he thinks he's ready? To what? To replace Dom Smith? Like, that sounds crazy.
That is Tristan Casas taking the Wasabi Challenge, one of the best sound bites of all time. 617,
that was fantastic, by the way.
617-779-7937. Yes, it was fantastic. It was absolutely
How did it
fantastic.
Taste, Rob? How did it taste?
So in case people don't know, we do the Wasabi Challenge. Everyone knows this, but I'm going to tell them anyway. We do this Wasabi Challenge, and the Wasabi Challenge is the fine folks at Wasabi Technology, Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage. They're our title sponsor for Baseball Isn't Boring. Go check out the podcast at BB Isn't Boring. So we do the Wasabi Challenge, and what it is I ask somebody, say, pick a player, pick a teammate, and I will ask you a question about that teammate. And if you get it wrong, you have to eat a ping pong size ball of wasabi. Casas was the first to do it. He had to eat the ping pong size ball of wasabi. Von Grissom actually saw the video and then wanted to do it himself.
Wait, he asked you?
He asked to do it.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that.
Afterwards, we saw him afterwards, and he was bragging about how it didn't affect him.
Everybody wants to
do it. He asked you to do it?
Everybody wants to do it. Like, we're going to do it.
That guy's built
it. I got one loaded up, ready to go in my bag right now. We're going to do it with somebody before this show's over. Anyway, so Von Grissom does it. He eats it. He pays the price. I go to Worcester, and these two guys are sitting there. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to ask you guys to do it again. You can do it to me. You guys host the show, and they asked me two questions. By the way, I gave the worst answer of all time, but that's okay. It's good for content. I ended up eating two ping pong sized balls of wasabi back to back.
Did you eat food before?
No.
Okay,
that's a problem.
Respect.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to gear up the courage to do it, Rob? Like, you weren't up the night before thinking
Zero.
About it?
I literally fell off I fell off a scooter and landed on my face for content. That's what I did.
They were talking about you on Nessun last night.
That's what I heard. I had some texts. What? How did that happen?
Okay. You want to know the context?
Yeah.
They were talking about someone needing to give Will Middlebrooks a ride back to his hotel. And he asked Jamai, like, did you drive or did you scooter? And he said, I can't scooter. I still have my ankle. And they're like, oh, speaking of scooters, Rob Bradford.
Yeah, there you go. anything for the brand. So yep. There you go. But by the way, I do want to pull up a soundbite. And Joe, I didn't ask you for this, but at some point, speaking of Cora, when Cora was on with the Jones and Mego show, I don't know if you heard this, they were asking him about Tristan Casas. And one of the things he said was, listen, I'm going to paraphrase, but he said he's just got to get his story straight. You know, he can't be all over the place with this. And he said he can't be telling Rob and the brand one thing. Yes. So Rob and the brand. It's like put it on the T-shirts. Here you go.
Ooh.
Anyway. So with the Tristan Casas thing, I agree with both of you. It's it's certain, like Cora, and Chris is right in this respect. I mean, listen, I can look at it that way, but if it opens the door, it opens the door. Whatever Cora says, if it opens the door, and that's what it did about saying he's healthy, and then it's going to get people talking. I can explain it, like, and I'm firmly confident in explaining it. Because I do feel that that comment about him being healthy was more about him playing in rehab. Because I'll say it again, Cora isn't stupid. He knows that it does his team no good if Tristan Casas gets up here and is getting blown away by 96-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, I think the disconnect is healthy does not mean ready to play Major League Baseball. We saw that, like Gordo said, we saw that with Trevor Story. He looked amazing in AAA, comes up to the majors, looks completely lost. Breaking news. Triple A is a little bit easier than Major League Baseball.
So. And more than ever, by the way. I mean, the disconnect between Triple A and Major Leagues, and there's been documentation of this, it's more than ever. And this is the other part about this, is that, we're getting all riled up. This isn't a guy who's going to say, I'm not playing for another month. He literally has to play in the Major Leagues a week by a week from Monday, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Those are the rules.
Those are the rules.
We don't make them, we just enforce them.
It's Tristan Casas.
Robin the Brand enforces the rules.
We saw Casas right when the injury happened. He looks so depressed in the dugout. He doesn't want to be down there. He wants to be playing. So I don't know. If this guy says he's not 100% ready, I'm going to believe him. I don't think he wants to be half ready in the majors.
While Gordo was drinking margaritas out of helmets and you were in parts unknown, I was doing the show last week, and it was the same topic because we had the same conversation in the Ken and Curtis show leading into it, and it was amazing. Casas is such a polarizing guy, and what it was, guys, was people would call up, and they would say, this has nothing to do with what he says or who he is, but what he says and who he is is why I want him out of here. And they were running
circles, and they didn't even go back to what he was saying in Worcester. They just went big picture.
Joe Braverman, Joe Braverman Beyond the Glass. And Joe, it was a consistent theme. Some very smart people calling up and doing the exact thing, which is, you know, it's almost like, I like you personally, but I don't like you personally. And I would remind them, we should be reminded of this, of a healthy, good Tristan Casas from June 1st, which is a good jumping off point, I think, for last year, right?
Yeah.
That's when he got – Gunnar Henderson was hitting under 200 for the first 2 months last year, too. So June 1st to when he got hurt this year, he has the seventh best OPS in all of baseball, better than Devers. That's how good he can be.
Seventh best OPS in all of baseball. That's the guy we're talking about. That's why I'm saying if this guy says he's not 100% ready, I'm going to believe the guy. He's no schmuck. He's good.
Yeah, and once again, we're I understand, like, this is what we have to lean into sometime, the drama, but it's a week. It's a week. And the contract thing, I can't even, like, fathom. I mean,
no, it's not. I'm not even.
No, I mean, whatever. I mean, listen, I applaud anybody for trying to find storylines and narratives and whatever, and we can discuss it. And
we might be multiple seasons away from contract talks with Casas. I don't even think that comes.
Well,
like, you said it earlier.
My point is, of course, we all know they offered him a contract. He turned it down. It's going to be tough to sign this guy. But when you look, when they get to the, let's say we're going to revisit in October, they're not going to say, oh, well, those 2 weeks you didn't play well, that's forget about it. And even if he says that month and a half he didn't play well,
yeah, we liked you for those multiple months where you're the seventh best OPS, but those 2 weeks,
and this is, it comes back to what does this team need, and this is perfectly segueing into the bigger picture of the Boston Red Sox. What does this team need? Since the All-Star break, since the All-Star break, they have the most runs in baseball. Runs are important, right, fellas?
I tend to agree.
Okay.
Yeah. If you score more runs, you have a better chance of winning.
And that is accurate. Science. And so since offense is not the problem. Even last night, whatever, they end up scoring 4.
They have 1 for 12 with runners in scoring position.
Okay.
But they had guys on base all the time.
Okay. Offense has not been the problem. We definitively know for the Red Sox to grab a hold of that wild card and not let it go, there is one thing that has to happen above everything else. You have to get the thing that carried you through the first 2 months of the season, the starting pitching, back to normal. No, I mean, it is so
far. What is normal? What is normal to you?
Normal is not second to last in ERA over the last month and a half.
But can you, and granted, you don't need them to be the April and whatever part of May rotation that you had, but you do have to have them be, if they're middle of the pack and they score the runs at the rate they're scoring them, they're going
to
be great.
So and last night was fascinating in this case, and we're going to get to trending in a second and get to all your calls after the break. Last night was fascinating because the people who are just looking from the outside, they look at the box, oh, look at this, Tanner Houck is back. And you know, there was an element of that. But the bigger problem was they know that they cannot be pushing these stars. They know that these guys need rest. They know that these guys, this is the reason why you've had this downturn, because they're entering this era that of these that the pitchers have not experienced yet. They know all of that. They also know they can't be skipping starts all over the place like they are Pivetta. They know this. So how do you fight against that? Well, you take out Tanner Houck after 80 pitches. That's what that impetus was all about. And you do that because at the trade deadline, this is where we're going to put our strength. We're going to put it in getting Lucas Sims. We're going to get it put in
Luis Garcia.
We got these guys coming back. We have Chris. That is our strength. We are going to lengthen the game from the bullpen. And that is the way we're going to give these guys some rest. That is what happened last night, and it backfired.
Yeah, it backfired, but also not for nothing. I know they pulled Houck. What was he in the low 80s for pitches?
80.
80 pitches. He had just two whiffs through six innings.
Yeah. It speaks to the overall point, is that you have to find a way to get these guys a second win.
Yeah.
Cora's trying to do two things at once, win the game and preserve the pitching staff. That's not easy.
Exactly. Well, we're going to do two things at once, have an excellent show, and do a trending now.
Wow.
So 617-779-7937. I see you all lined up. Going to get to your calls. Sammy from Play Tessie. Gordo from Play Tessie. We got a college baseball reporter for Baseball Isn't Boring, Bella Guestcoast, here at Fenway, boots in the ground. She has promised that she's going to ask Joe Castiglione about how he chooses what he wears. Which I thought as soon as we were workshopping that, I'm like, oh my goodness, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I bet he's like me. I bet he just grabs whatever's on top, puts it on.
I do not agree with that.
Really?
I think that Joe is very, very discerning when it comes to
wearing. On top, that implies that he has a pile of clothing in his home.
That's true. He definitely doesn't have a pile.
Here's another question. We'll have Bella ask
Gordo pile.
Which is, do you adhere to win streaks or losing streaks when it comes to dress?
Ah, that's the question.
That is the question. All right. Another question is, what is going on in the world of sports? Well, fortunately, we have a trending now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
You got questions? I got answers. We start with the Red Sox, who returned home to an 8-4 loss to the Astros to open up their series. 8-4, your final score. The Sox were up 3-1 until six consecutive hits, including a two-run home run by Jose Altuve in the seventh, gave Houston the tie and eventually the lead. Bullpen of Lucas Sims, Luis Garcia, and Cam Boozer allowed 7 of the 8 runs. Zach Kelly also had an appearance. Game 2 of this 3-game series will get underway this afternoon. The Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione and Sean McDonough have the call from Fenway at 4:10 on the Shaw's at Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Josh Winkowski will get the start for the Sox in a bullpen day opposite Spencer Arrighetti for the Astros. Joe Weil will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. Before yesterday's game, the Sox announced they've placed Brian Bayo on the paternity list and Cooper Criswell on the COVID-19 injury list. Boozer and Brad Keller were recalled from AAA Worcester to fill the roster spots. Yesterday, the Patriots officially released wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju finished with 29 catches, 260 yards, and a touchdown after signing a 3-year, $25 million contract as a free agent last offseason. The Pats will account for $9 million of his $16 million guaranteed in the cap space. And the Paris Olympics are winding down this weekend. The U.S. still clearing away runaway leaders with total medals at 113. China has 37 gold medals to the U.S.'s 33. Some notable events for today. The women's soccer team is going for the gold against Brazil. They're in the second half, and they lead it 1-0 with about 61 and a half minutes to go. Mallory Swanson put the goal in for the U.S. just moments ago. Later on today, you can see the men and women's 4x400 relay. That'll get started at 1 o'clock. And men's basketball will try for their fifth straight gold medal against host nation France. That tips off at 3:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ground ball left side. Bregman has it. Fires to second. Ball game over. And the Houston Astros win the opening game of this series. The final, Houston 8, the Red Sox 4. Red Sox drop their second straight. And the first meeting with Houston this year goes to the Astros.
Oh, that's Sad Joe. That's Sad Joe. Sad Joe, Red Sox lose. Everything was going along just perfectly fine. And then it didn't go fine. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. It is always fine. We are red hot. Had one of our biggest months in our history on the podcast last month. So Play Tessie guys, also red hot, fire hot Play Tessie podcast. Excellent job.
Can't miss it.
Thank you.
I mean, look, you guys can't miss it.
Can't miss it.
Can't miss it. How much did the, I didn't get a chance to listen to the episode. I'm going to do that later today about the recapping of the bachelor party.
You know, we didn't actually really recap it that much. I missed the episode after the Rangers.
And that's podcasting 101.
It's not safe for Play Tessie ears. It's
podcasting 101.
So much
stuff. You do everything for content, including having a bachelor party.
See, if I was in that lead chair like I was while Gordo was gone, I would have been able to get to it.
That was our mistake.
That's Joe Braverman behind the glass chiming in.
He almost got hit by a Ref Snyder home run, right?
Oh, yeah, Rob Refsnyder's homer in the first inning of the second Rangers game.
What an aphrodisiac for your bride-to-be.
If I were sitting, what'd you just say?
I said, what an aphrodisiac for your bride-to-be. Oh. I don't think you understand. Welcome home. I almost got hit in the noggin by a Rob Refsnyder home run.
You should have seen it. It was 105 degrees and 105
I was so brave. I was drinking in the middle of drinking a margarita out of a helmet.
That's so Gordo.
All right. I want to get back to the bachelor part. I do want to dive into this. I find it fascinating, bizarre, and all the above. We got a lot to get to. The adrenaline's coursing through my veins, partly because Sammy and Gordo from Play Tessie are here, also because I just took another half of 5-hour energy. Let's go.
Rob on caffeine.
Let's go.
I like how you say that's so matter of fact. The adrenaline is coursing through my veins.
It is. dot, dot, dot. It's science.
It's like with a period.
All right. Well, and also another reason might be because we're about to talk to Jeff in Watertown. Jeff in Watertown. Let's go.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Well, you know, Rob, I was thinking, you know, poor Cora, I was thinking about the conscious comments reminded me of what Sam Kennedy said early in the year when he talked about underachieving. And then all of a sudden, like, Cora has to answer about, you know, is this team really underachieving? You know, and then just, you know, I'm convinced that Costas was making a joke. He was trying to get a reaction out of a
sideline reporter. Oh, he was absolutely, Jeff.
It was just,
go ahead. Okay.
Well, I'm just going to say, like, I mean, you know, and all of a sudden he talks about getting blowback and getting texts from other organizations saying, what are you doing with this kid? And I'm sure some of that's just teasing and gamemanship, but still, it's like, it's a reflection on Cora. And I'm sure Costas never thought of that. I mean,
that was, you hit the nail on the head, Jeff, and that is hard to explain because I don't begrudge, like, you know, Chris Curtis or Ken. They're coming at it. It's surface level stuff, and it's also something to talk about. It's not the norm of what Alex Cora said. But Jeff, you hit the nail on the head, and I can offer behind the scenes contact, in front of the scenes context, whatever it is. But that is absolutely what we're talking about. When Tristan Casas a week ago Friday made the comment to Laura Stickles about, hey, I got a knife in my chest. It feels like a knife in my chest. The organization immediately like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Because that makes us look stupid playing you with knives in your chest, right?
Right. And, they gave him some rope. They let him have his personality show. Netflix loves him, and they're going, you know. And so I'm sure he just got like, make a joke, and everybody will love it. And, you know, poor Cora has to explain it. And the same way that Kennedy, I don't think, was trying to, you know, knock Cora down. He was just trying to, you know, make a stupid argument. But he looked bad on Cora. And Cora had to come back and say, wait a minute. You know, this is what I'm doing here. What are you talking about? Right?
Cora is like really, really good, and this is where Chris was right. Chris Curtis was right about, like, he's very good at subtly sort of getting his message across. Like, if I'll go back to last year, this wasn't so subtle, I guess, but wearing the underdog shirt around for 2 weeks, you know, after the trade deadline. But it's People can say, I don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. I can say with a lot of certainty that when I reference these things or I paint this picture, there is a lot of facts behind it. So take it for what it is, Jeff.
Right. And the other thing I just want to mention is with the way all these teams are in it, I'm wondering if they should move back the trade deadline. Because I feel like now, now there's like nothing to do. You can, you know, work with the minor leagues or whatever, but I'm wondering because so many teams are in it now and people are like, I really wonder if they should move the trade deadline to the, you know, split the difference and make it August 15th and maybe even go back to August 31st and give teams a chance to kind of fall out of it so that you can then, you know, you maybe balance make some moves. Yeah. I just kind of feel like when they did all this at once, they expanded the playoffs, which meant more teams are relevant, but then they got rid of the trade deadline, you know, the waiver trade deadline. This kind of like nothing. So I just would like to see them maybe, you know, stretch this a little bit longer.
I don't disagree. I honestly miss the waiver trade deadline. I mean,
the waiver deadline because people blocked. That you had to, like, you know, people took players they didn't want just to block them. It was great.
I mean, I love the waiver deadline. I wouldn't move the actual trade deadline because I like how it kind of forces teams to decide: are you in or are you out? But I do agree about the waiver.
Have to decide. It just would be like 2 weeks later.
I feel like it's less of a. It's less of a challenge for the teams. It's more cut and dry who's who. This is kind of like who's going to buy, who's going to sell. That's entertaining. That's good content. I enjoy that.
But the issue now is that there's like, what, 6, 7, 8 true sellers and then 22 buyers. It's like we got to even out the market. Otherwise, teams are either doing anything.
I don't think that's the deadline.
Exorbitant prices.
Jeff, hold on. Jeff, you got anything else, Jeff?
I'm good. Thank you, guys. See you
next week. All right. Hey, listen, always a pleasure. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Appreciate you, Jeff.
But it's... It is this, you know, we reflect on this trade deadline and really it was the days leading up to Gordo's bachelor party. That's why we're really reflecting on it.
Mm-hmm. That's the buildup right there.
It was. What was it? Was it the date of your bachelor party?
We got there like August 2nd.
Okay.
It really was.
So the hay was already in the barn. You already knew what people were. You knew that Nathan Eovaldi was going to be pitching for the Texas Rangers.
I knew that Luis Garcia was going to be in Texas with the Boston.
You could have picked him up from the airport.
I could have.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Because he would have been good content. Right? He didn't go with the team.
That would have been excellent content.
Yeah.
Missed by you.
I could have worn like the little limo driver hat and picked up Luis Garcia. And
you'd be forever connected to him.
Even if you didn't, you should have simulated it, right?
Just like get someone else going into the car.
I only tried doing that one this in spring training this year when Rich Hill came in on Spirit Airlines.
When
he funded his trip to be broadcaster.
The most underrated airline ever. Underrated.
Is this like the same Kennedy underrated, overrated?
This is legitimate underrated airline.
Nah, I'm not standing up for Spirit Airlines.
I've never had a bad experience with them except when they try to get me to put my bag on the
board. When Rich Hill was down, we're going to get to Rich Hill and his showcase, his workout, because it's pertinent to what's going on. But when Rich Hill came down to do the broadcast in spring training, I mean, this guy was in such a good mood. He was smiling all the time, hugging all of it was so great. But the one bit of negativity that he kept coming back to, what he had, that he would potentially have to pay for water on that flight down on Spirit Airline, which is a very, very reasonable complaint.
I think that's a reasonable complaint, but where he's going wrong is not sleeping the whole flight.
Oh, it's not so easy. I can't sleep on if I can,
especially
sleep
on those
planes,
seats. I mean, they're like, they're,
oh, come on, they're the same seats.
Anyway,
as
I don't want to talk
flights
about Spirit Airlines.
Come on, Rob.
All right, so
you're not sitting on wood.
So here you kind of are. So we can now reflect, right? We can now say everybody gave like the B minus, the consensus, the aggregation of the grades for the trade deadline for the Red Sox was B minus C plus.
C plus, yeah, I gave C plus.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What did I say?
You probably said
I think I said B
minus.
B or B minus.
Right. Everyone was B minus, C plus.
It was aight.
It was all right.
It was all right.
So they got the Danny Jansen, they got the Jan Spaxson, they got the two relievers. Good for them. They did something. Everyone was okay, fine. And by the way, James Paxton, good job, James Paxton. Big Maple. All right. You pitched well last time. There's a lot of pitchers, starters that went out and didn't pitch well at the deadline. So, but now you've landed here. I think that we can now say, in hindsight, the uncomfortable part about the trade deadline was that you desperately needed another starting pitcher, more so than I think that you realized. Would that be fair to say?
How could you not realize? I said to Gordo, I like the James Paxton move when they made it initially because I figured, cool, this is one of the starting pitchers they're going to get. Then they get Quinn Priester. I'm thinking,
by the way, Kenley was ahead of the curve in that. Like a month before, he said, everyone knows what we need. We need two starting pitchers.
Everyone's like,
you need two starting pitchers.
Kenley, has a player ever been more on the same page as the fans than Kenley this year? Like before the season, he's upset because they're not investing enough. At the deadline, he's thinking, wow, this is going a lot better than I thought. We need two pitchers. It's like he's a Red Sox fan, but he's also the closer on the team. Love this guy.
All right.
The two pitchers thing. Where do you get the roster spot for that?
But that's the point. When he said that, it was
I'm saying it now, though.
No, hold on a second. So when he said, I'm going to go back to when Kenley said it on the Baseball Isn't Boring show, and not on the show, on the podcast. He said, everybody knows what we need. I don't even think I'm paraphrasing. I think that's exactly what he said. Everyone knows what we need. Yeah. We needed a right-handed bat, and we needed a couple starting pitchers. And at that time, you were rolling. You were still on this, oh, my goodness, this is so good. You have all these starting pitchers. Even the ones who have taken a turn for the worse, we still have Houck. We still have Crawford. I mean, Crawford was insanely good leading up to the All-Star break. He was really, really good. So now, at that point, absolutely, you're like, oh, okay, Kenley, whatever you say, embarrassment of riches. But now you're saying, okay, where are you going to put them?
Because that's the thing, Rob, is yes, today they're in all likelihood about to bullpen a game in a playoff race against the team that you're battling with the Astros. Like that's tough. But say they did get another starting pitcher. Like we're seeing the moves that they have to make to activate.
You know what you could do?
Like they sent Cam Boozer down to activate Chris Martin. So you add another starting pitcher.
No, you know what you could? I don't care.
The fake IL?
No.
But you can't have a rotation like this and then be like, we don't have enough roster.
No.
It's not good enough.
You know, you have a pretty good idea that the reason for this downturn, we think, is just guys wearing down.
It's obvious what we need.
Exactly. Thank you, Kenley.
There we go.
Thanks for coming by the studios here. By the way, we're at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios here at Fenway Park. Thanks, Kenley, for chiming, popping your head in and saying the obvious.
He was so quick, in and out.
That's all it takes, you know? We're very economical on this show.
Mm-hmm. Four is very close to that last microphone. It was very quick.
Yeah.
Yes. But so what you could do, let's play this out. What you could do is that you could do a six-man rotation-ish type of thing, right? Because you need to start building in extra days. It comes back to the same thing, which is last night, what your answer to giving these guys a little bit of a breather was 80 pitches. Not 110, but 80. Not desperation, but 80, because you feel like you have it set up. That is their answer right now to giving these guys a break. That was their plan. The other plan, Gordo, you asked the question, what would you do with another starting pitcher? Well, you would give guys an extra break.
How much more of a, like on the scale of 1 to 10 of how valuable a breather is, how valuable is the 80 pitches as opposed to 100 pitches breather, and then how valuable is the extra day of rest added on?
I mean,
like, in your eyes, because obviously
contrary to popular opinion, I'm not a scientist.
Are you sure?
I do love science.
You do love science.
But I actually hate science.
You reference
it a lot. I love baseball science.
You talk about science a lot for someone who
I do. Yeah. Well, I know when things are like scientific. Science. Like, for instance, if I give someone a baseball as a boring sticker, they're going to have a good day. That's science.
That's science.
Easy.
Right? Easy. But my guess is that having the extra day would mean more than having 20 or 25 less pitches.
Shut up, science bitch.
What if you temporarily went with a short bench for a month and then you have that extra pitcher up?
You can't.
Why not?
You have to have max 13 pitchers on the roster.
Yeah, that's science.
What if you demote it? Short bullpen then.
All right, hold on. We're going to workshop.
That's what you'd have to do.
We're going to workshop this in the break.
Bullpen.
All right? I don't want to just throw stuff against the wall. I want to come back
science.
From this break.
The wheels are spinning.
I want to come back from this break with answers. We're going to give you a lot of answers. If you want to weigh in to the Tristan Cassis drama, to the Red Sox lot in life, to Gordo's bachelor party, any of that, weigh in on it. 617-779-7937. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show, live from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. We're going to have answers when we come back. All right, we're back. Baseballs and Boring all the way up till 3 o'clock. We got Gordo and Sammy from the Play Tessie podcast. Excellent, excellent job so far by you guys.
Thank you so much.
Pitching a perfect game. Excellent job across the board. Like the spirited conversation leading into the show about Tristan Cassis, and we're going to get to that more if anyone wants to talk about it. I know that, once again, in case you missed it, Alex Cora, I'm going to paraphrase here, but said, hey, Tristan Cassis is healthy. It's going to be up to him when he returns, but he has to get his timing to a point where it's acceptable in his eyes, which I get it, and we have already made the point, which when he says that, when he said, hey, he's healthy, it's going to be up to him, that's where people stop listening, stop reading, and they say, hey, he's calling him out. But in reality, I think, or I know, what take your pick, whatever which one you want to choose, is that they were really, really uncomfortable with him insinuating that he wasn't healthy because, as an organization, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing if we're not going to be perceived as an organization that's sending someone out on a rehab assignment if they're not healthy and they're going to tear rib cartilage off their ribs, correct?
So hold on a second. People think that Cora saying that is calling out Cassis for not.
Did you hear? You weren't here.
No, I was standing outside. I couldn't hear.
Yeah.
That's what Curtis was saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. If it were Anthony Rendon, you could say it.
I think it's calling him out. I think it's kind of him being like a little annoyed, but not fully saying like Cassis needs to get it together. It's like he's a little peeved.
Yeah,
like
but would you agree that he's peeved because of what I said?
Yes,
I think it's everything together.
Well, do you think? Okay, do you think he's peeved because hey, listen, Christus, you should be playing for us right now. What are
no.
you doing?
No, I think it just looks.
But that was the perception of Chris Curtis.
I think he's peeved from the Max thing.
No, I think he's peeved from like we aren't gonna play you in a baseball game at any level if you have knives in your chest.
I mean, this is
that's why he's peeved.
This is what he's peeved about. We're discussing the comments right now on air. We shouldn't be. It's like we shouldn't have stuff to discuss.
But Chris is right in this respect. Is that this is the problem? Is that
exactly
when he says this yesterday? This is one of the reasons why we're talking about it. We talked about it last week, but this is continuing. This is amping up the conversation because people are going to take it that way. You know, I don't think that that's the way that the impetus for it, but they are going to take it that way which is he's calling him out. He says that Tristan Cassis should be in the lineup with the Boston Red Sox right now. He is healthy.
You know what?
But I don't think that's the case.
I don't either. I think it's fair for fans to take it that way because.
Well, what are you? Aren't you a fan?
Yeah, yes, but like I think
you're the uneducated. Say it with me, Gordo. It's their prerogative to be wrong.
It's their prerogative to be wrong, and also like we come here, we talk to Tristan Casas, and like even if you just like watch the team closely, like you know how much it's been killing him to not be out there. Like I think that alone should be enough proof to you to know that Alex Cora is not going to be calling Casas out for not coming back as soon as possible. Like Casas is going to come back as soon as he is possibly ready. Like that is so clear. Just based off of how painful this process is.
Well, ready, again, ready and also ready in terms of performance. And this is the bizarre.
Yeah.
A lot of this argument is bizarre to me. Like, I don't get it because this is, you have a drop-dead deadline, which is a week from Monday. And so we're talking about just over another week. So, all right, fine. It's another week. This is an area of the team which isn't why you're losing. It's not even close to why you're.
You're getting fine production out of the first.
Right.
I think when you take a step back, I think what Cora's annoyed at is being asked about Casas, but not for baseball stuff because of what he's said. I think he's just peeved at that. He's peeved of talking about it.
Well,
I'm sick of talking about it.
You're right. And so this is the thing. And I think the people, they let Tristan Casas be himself, which we have appreciated many, many times.
Endorse,
right?
Yes.
But when he isn't playing and he's having these conflicting sort of comments, people forget why you're accepting of it. Because why you're accepting of it is because he's good. We already cited this from June 1st of last year to when he got hurt. He's the 7th best OPS in baseball.
Yeah.
When he's doing that, people are like, hey! All right, let's go.
It's crazy how different everything sounds when you're playing.
But for the organization, they're like, okay, you know, you can be your wacky whatever, but you got to be on point your message. And here's an example of it. Here's what Alex Cora said on the Jones and Mego show.
When I saw the knife and the gun and the knife, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, like, so I texted with him and I get the analogy. I get it. I told him, but we have to make sure that the message is the right one because as a manager, you know, I talk to the media twice and I get caught off guard sometimes with some of the things that are out there. So, you know, just letting him know that, you know, let's be honest with everybody. You know, we cannot tell Rob and the brand, you know, one thing and then somebody else, something else.
Rob and the brand. You cannot tell Rob and the brand one thing. And I feel like when he's saying that, he's talking about you guys. You guys are part of the brand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
We're brand.
You're on the baseball. You're on the Baseballs and Boring show right now. You're part of the brand. There's so many people. He understands. So you cannot tell all these tentacles of the Baseballs and Boring brand.
Tentacles.
Anything. Yeah, I'll be very careful.
Or a big
very
octopus. Careful. You know, that'd be really funny if someone turned on the radio right as that Cora quote started and they didn't get the context. Probably sounded crazy.
You could not tell Robin the brand.
Robin the brand right. Saw the net.
Well, but the overall Robin point. The but that's what, that was a microcosm of what we're talking about. That is what riled or, I don't know, is riled the right word?
Riled up
or
need direction.
Made him uncomfortable. Like, what are you doing? Like,
I think I had a good word for it earlier. Peeved.
Peeved.
He's not
I like
pissed
that.
Off. He's just a little peeved.
All right. Okay. Well, I want people to comment on this. And again, you can comment about the Red Sox. We're in you know what, crunching time, right? I mean, this is August. Where are we at? August 10th. It is we are full pennant race mode. Every game matters. Every single series matters. Every single narrative matters. All of it, because if you take a turn for the worse, you can bury yourself. You can absolutely bury yourself, or you cannot take advantage of losing streaks. Like Kansas City lost last night. Science would suggest if the Red Sox won, they would pick up a game, but they did not. Correct?
Correct. That's science. I'm scared of these guys, the Astros. They feel. I'm pointing towards the field.
Oh,
excuse me.
But it's like
I
science.
Said that and You pointed at the TV that's playing cornhole.
Yeah, I meant to point towards the field.
I am, in fairness, I am scared of the
cornhole. The Astros are like, if you're in a, I'll use an Olympic reference, if you're in a foot race and you're racing Usain Bolt and he trips out of the gate and you get a big head start, but then you start to hear the footsteps. He's coming. He's right behind you.
The freeze.
Yes, yeah. That's how I think of the Astros because they're.
And that's what happened last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Got you. Usain
Bolt. And by the way, once that bullpen came in, I'm like, oh, this is a pretty good bullpen.
Well, we don't have to talk about the bullpen.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, 617-779-7937. We're on with you till 3 o'clock. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Be back after this. All right, we're back. Baseball Isn't Boring all the way up till 3 o'clock. We got Gordo and Sammy from the Play Tessie podcast. Excellent, excellent job so far by you guys.
Thank you so much.
Pitching a perfect game. Excellent job across the board. Like the spirited conversation leading into the show about Tristan Casas, and we're going to get to that more if anyone wants to talk about it. I know that, once again, in case you missed it, Alex Cora, I'm going to paraphrase here, but said, hey, Tristan Casas is healthy. It's going to be up to him when he returns, but he has to get his timing to a point where it's acceptable in his eyes, which I get it, and we have already made the point, which – when he says that, when he said, hey, he's healthy, it's going to be up to him, that's where people stop listening, stop reading, and they say, hey, he's calling him out. But in reality, I think, or I know, what take your pick, whatever which one you want to choose, is that they were really, really uncomfortable with him insinuating that he wasn't healthy because as an organization, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing if – we're not going to be perceived as an organization that's sending someone out on a rehab assignment if they're not healthy and they're going to tear rib cartilage off their ribs. Correct?
So hold on a second. People think that Cora saying that is calling out Casas for not.
Did you hear? You weren't here.
No, I was standing outside. I couldn't hear. Yeah. That's what Curtis was saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. If it were Anthony Rendon, you could say it.
I think it's calling him out. I think it's kind of him being like a little annoyed, but not fully saying, like, Costas needs to get it together. It's like he's a little peeved.
Yeah,
like
but would you agree that he's peeved because of what I said?
Yes.
I think it's everything together.
Well, do you think he's peeved because, hey, listen, Christus, you should be playing for us right now. What are you doing?
No, I think it just looks
bad. But that was the perception of Chris Curtis.
I think he's peeved from the Mets thing.
No, I think he's peeved from, like, we aren't gonna play you in a baseball game at any level if you have knives in your chest.
I mean, this is
that's why he's peeved.
This is what he's peeved about. We're discussing the comments right now on air. We shouldn't be. It's like, but we shouldn't have stuff to discuss.
But Chris is right in this respect, is that this is the problem, is that
exactly
when he says this yesterday, this is one of the reasons why we're talking about it. We talked about it last week, but this is continuing. This is amping up the conversation because people are going to take it that way. You know, I don't think that that's the way that the impetus for it, but they are going to take it that way, which is he's calling him out. He says that Tristan Casas should be in the lineup with the Boston Red Sox right now. He is healthy.
You know what?
But I don't think that's the case.
I don't either. I think it's fair for fans to take it that way because.
Well, what are you? Aren't you a fan?
Yeah, yes, but like I think
you're the uneducated. Say it with me, Gordo. It's their prerogative to be wrong.
It's their prerogative to be wrong, and also like we come here, we talk to Tristan Casas, and like even if you just like watch the team closely, like you know how much it's been killing him to not be out there. Like I think that alone should be enough proof to you to know that Alex Cora is not going to be calling Casas out for not coming back as soon as possible. Like, Casas is going to come back as soon as he is possibly ready. Like, that is so clear, just based off of how painful this process is.
Well, ready, again, ready and also ready in terms of performance. This is the bizarre.
Yeah.
A lot of this argument is bizarre to me. Like, I don't get it because this is, you have a drop-dead deadline, which is a week from Monday. And so we're talking about just over another week. So, all right, fine. It's another week. This is an area of the team which isn't why you're losing. It's not even close to why you're losing.
You're getting fine production out of the first.
Right.
I think when you take a step back, I think what Cora's annoyed at is being asked about Casas, but not for baseball stuff because of what he's said. I think he's just peeved at that. He's peeved at talking about it.
Well,
I'm sick of talking about it. I just want to see the guy play.
And this, you're right. And so this is the thing, and I think the people, they let Tristan Casas be himself, which we have appreciated many, many times.
Endorse. Full endorse.
Endorse, right?
Yes.
But when he isn't playing and he's having these conflicting sort of comments, people forget why you're accepting of it, because why you're accepting of it is because he's good. We already cited this from June 1st of last year to when he got hurt, is the 7th best OPS in baseball.
Yeah.
When he's doing that, people are like, hey, all right, let's go.
It's crazy how different everything sounds when you're playing.
But for the organization, they're like, okay, you know, you can be your wacky whatever, but you got to be on point, your message. And here's an example of it. Here's what Alex Cora said on the Jones and Mego show.
When I saw the knife and the gun and the knife, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, like. So I texted with him, and I get the analogy. I get it. I told him, but we have to make sure that the message is the right one, because as a manager, you know, I have, you know, I talk to the media twice, and I get caught off guard sometimes with some of the things that are out there. So, you know, just letting him know that, you know, let's be honest with everybody. You know, we cannot tell Rob and the brand, you know, one thing, and then somebody else, something else.
Rob and the brand. You cannot tell Rob and the brand one thing. And I feel like when he's saying that, he's talking about you guys. You guys are part of the brand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
We're brand.
You're on the baseball. You're on the Baseballs and Boring show right now. You're part of the brand. There's so many he understands. So you cannot tell all these tentacles of the Baseballs and Boring brand.
Tentacles.
Anything. Yeah, I'll be very careful.
Or a big very octopus. Careful. You know, that'd be really funny if someone turned on the radio right as that Cora quote started and they didn't get the context. Probably sounded crazy.
You could not tell Robin the brand.
Robin the brand, right. Saw the
net. Well, but the overall Robin point. The tentacles. But that's what, that was a microcosm of what we're talking about. That is what riled, or I don't know, is riled the right word?
Riled up
or
need direction.
Made him uncomfortable. Like, what are you doing? Like,
I think I had a good word for it earlier. Peeved.
Peeved.
He's not
I like
pissed
that.
Off. He's just a little peeved.
All right. Okay. Well, I want people to comment on this. And again, you can comment on the Red Sox. We're in you know what, crunching time, right? I mean, this is August. Where are we at? August 10th. It is, we are full pennant race mode. Every game matters. Every single series matters. Every single narrative matters. All of it. Because if you take a turn for the worse, you can bury yourself. You can absolutely bury yourself. Or you cannot take advantage of losing streaks. Like Kansas City lost last night. Science would suggest if the Red Sox won, they would pick up a game, but they did not. Correct?
Correct. That's science. I'm scared of these guys, the Astros. They feel. I'm pointing towards the field.
Oh,
excuse me.
But it's like
I science.
Said that and you pointed at the TV that's TV. Playing cornhole.
Yeah, I meant to point towards the field.
I am. In fairness, I am scared of the.
The Astros. The Astros are like if you're in a. I'll use an Olympic reference. If you're in a foot race and you're racing Usain Bolt and he trips out of the gate and you get a big head start, but then you start to hear the footsteps. He's coming. He's right behind
the
you.
Freeze.
That's
the freeze.
Yes. Yeah. That's how I think of the Astros, because they're...
And that's what happened last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Got you.
Once that bullpen came in, I'm like, oh, this is a pretty good bullpen.
Well, we don't have to talk about the bullpen.
All right. Anyway, 617-779-7937. We're on with you till 3 o'clock. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. Be back after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.